Angelic visitors, human pillars of salt. The legendary city of Sodom has fascinated mankind for millennia. The Bible and Quran both speak of the doomed city which suffered the wrath of God and was utterly annihilated. Theories abound as to the city's whereabouts. Was it reduced to ash without trace? Is it buried at the bottom of the Dead Sea? In this video, we will analyze historical and archaeological findings to separate fact from fiction, truth from fantasy, and shed light on what really happened. The hunt for Sodom should begin with the geographical clues given in Scripture. The Bible informs us, Abraham came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain of Jordan and pitched his tents near Sodom. Lot and Abraham are said to have been situated between Bethel and Ai, which were two cities located in the region of Canaan. They parted ways, with Abraham remaining in Canaan and Lot settling in the plain of Jordan, a fertile land extending from the Sea of Galilee in the north to the Dead Sea in the south. We are informed that Sodom is in the vicinity of the plain of Jordan, which provides us with a general geographical area of Sodom's location. Islamic sources also point to this same geographical area as Sodom's location. The Quran states the following about the ruins of Sodom. You Meccans certainly pass by their ruins day and night. Will you not then understand? Muslim exegetes have long understood this to be a reference to the Arab merchants at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who used to regularly travel via caravan from Mecca and Medina to Syria along the famous incense route on the coast of the Red Sea. As the famous 10th century Quranic exegete Al-Tabari confirmed, yes, by God, on mornings and nights, they pass through them on their feet. Those who travel to Syria from Medina, they pass by Sodom, the city of Lot's people. We can see that this route overlaps with the same geographical area highlighted in the Bible. The renowned 14th century Quranic exegete Ibn Kathir even specifically identified the Dead Sea as the location of Sodom, which he described as a foul, stinking lake. He wrote, God destroyed them with different kinds of punishments and made their vicinity a foul, stinking lake, which is on a well-travelled route where people pass by night and day. In summary, we can see that both the Bible and Quran corroborate one another and point to the same region as the location of Sodom. With our geographical search area defined, we can now look to see if we can narrow down the location further. Both the Bible and Quran state that Sodom was utterly annihilated. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. So we saved him, Lot, and all of his family, except an old woman, who was one of the doomed. Then we utterly destroyed the rest. So in terms of finding the specific location of Sodom, we should expect it to be a site that exhibits signs of violent destruction. The hunt for Sodom had a significant breakthrough in the early 2000s, with the excavations by Dr. Stephen Collins at Tal el Hammam, which is situated in modern-day Jordan on the north side of the Dead Sea. This site ticks the scriptural boxes quite nicely, as its location not only falls within the geographical area we identified, but archaeological and scientific analysis all point to the occurrence of some highly unusual catastrophic event that led to the site being abandoned around 3,600 years ago. Researchers at Tal el Hammam discovered melted pottery fragments, the formation of diamondoids, the presence of soot, charcoal and ash, all of which indicates the site was exposed to extreme high temperatures and fires. The researchers set about resolving the ancient mystery of what exactly happened at Tal el Hammam. They considered and dismissed numerous natural and man-made disasters, including volcanic eruptions, earthquakes and warfare, as they can account for some but not all of the evidence. They concluded that the only plausible mechanism that can account for the entire range of evidence is a large cosmic airburst. The lack of any impact crater at the site further supports this conclusion. In light of the collective data, researchers concluded that the doomed people at Tal el Hamam would have experienced the following sequence of events in rapid succession. A large celestial body, such as an asteroid, descended on the site and exploded above it mid-air. Instant blindness would have afflicted anyone staring at the explosion. Air temperatures then rapidly rose to an unbearable degree. Clothing and wood suddenly burst into flames. Almost immediately, the entire city was on fire. Next, the explosion's hypervelocity shockwave ripped through the city, demolishing every building and tearing apart living things. When incoming celestial bodies detonate at altitude, they burst into numerous fragments that rained down, causing further casualties. Those fragments that strike the ground form small transient craters, generating enough energy to create shocked quartz. Shocked quartz was found at the site of Tal el Hamam and is one of the most widely accepted cosmic impact indicators. Because the aerial detonation took place near the Dead Sea, which is highly saline, large deposits of salt would have been distributed across the region, severely limiting agricultural development for centuries. Let's now analyse scripture in light of such a cosmic airburst event to see if the details match up. The Bible informs us with regards to the destruction of Sodom. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. We can see that the biblical account speaks of the raining down of brimstone and fire, which broadly matches a cosmic airburst event. When news of the discoveries at Tal el Hamam broke out, Christians all over the world hailed it as evidence for the historical accuracy of the Bible. The problem with the biblical narrative is that it contradicts the archaeological discoveries in major ways. For example, archaeologists date the destruction at Tal el Hamam between 1750 and 1650 BCE. Yet according to biblical chronology, Abraham, and by extension Lot, who was his contemporary, lived centuries earlier in around 2000 BCE. Dr. Stephen Collins, the Christian archaeologist who carried out the excavations at Tal el Hamam, acknowledges this major chronological issue. He wrote, "I'm the first to admit that it's a sticky problem, and I also admit that 5 or 6 years ago, I used to hold to a much earlier date for Abraham. But the excavations at Hamam have forced me to rethink the chronology based on archaeological evidence." Another issue with the biblical narrative is that it claims people would never again inhabit the land of Sodom after its destruction. Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah. She will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. Edom will become an object of horror. As Sodom and Gomorrah were overthrown, along with their neighbouring towns, so no one will live there, no people will dwell in it. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah are clear in their announcements against Babylon and Edom that, just like Sodom, they too would never be inhabited again. The destruction of Tal el Hamam took place toward the end of the Middle Bronze Period, around 1750-1650 BCE. Historically, it was later occupied again by people at the time of the Iron Age, around 1000 BCE, which falsifies biblical prophecy. As the archaeologist Philip J. Sylvia points out, occupation of Tal el Hamam continued at a minimal level into the Roman period. The Romans even built a bathhouse near the hot spring that sits in the saddle between the upper and lower Tals. In summary, we can see that there are serious chronological and prophetic issues in the biblical narrative. Let's now compare the Quranic narrative with the discoveries at Tal el Hamam. The Quran informs us, "Indeed, we will send down upon the people of this town a torment from heaven on account of having been defiantly disobedient." The mention of a torment from heaven being sent down upon the people of Lot indicates that the punishment came from outside the earth, which fits the idea of an asteroid. The Quran elaborates on the punishment that was inflicted on Sodom in the following verses. "By your life, indeed they were, in their intoxication, wandering blindly. So the shriek seized them at sunrise, and we made the highest part of the city its lowest, and rained upon them stones of hard clay. Note the sequence of events described here. Firstly, a shriek. The Arabic word is sayhatu, which other English translations render as cry, blast, rumbling, and explosion. Secondly, the highest parts of the city were made the lowest, implying that its buildings and constructions were completely levelled. Thirdly, stones rained down on the city. This sequence of events perfectly matches the archaeological findings of the devastating cosmic airburst event at Tal el Hammam. The Quran's mention of a loud noise aligns with the asteroid's mid-air explosion. The Quran's mention that the highest parts of the city were then made the lowest fits with the shockwave that would have resulted from the asteroid explosion, completely levelling the entire site of Tal el Hammam. Finally, the Quran's mention of stones raining down upon the city matches the exploded asteroid fragments that would have descended on Tal el Hammam. Another fascinating detail can be found in the Quran regarding the instructions given to Prophet Lot. The angel said, "O Lot, indeed we are messengers of your Lord. Therefore, they will never reach you. So set out with your family during a portion of the night, and let not any among you look back." Note the angelic instructions for Prophet Lot and his followers to hasten their exit from the city and avoid looking back at it. Now, this could be just a rhetorical way of instructing them to leave the city as soon as possible and not waste any time in doing so. However, it could also have been a practical method to protect their eyes from flash blindness that would have likely resulted had they stared at the asteroid explosion. This is a very subtle yet phenomenal detail in the Quran, which again supports the archaeological findings of a cosmic airburst event. Interestingly, the Quran alludes to the people of Sodom's blindness when it states, "By your life, indeed they were, in their intoxication, wandering blindly." This could be a foreshadowing of the loss of sight that they would suffer when the punishment descended on Sodom. A contention that needs to be tackled is the tradition of the angel Gabriel lifting the town of Sodom on his wing, turning it upside down, and crashing it into the earth. A situation that contradicts the archaeological findings at Tal el Hammam. This account is so commonly repeated in Muslim circles that it has become part of the collective consciousness and accepted as fact. While this account has been narrated by a handful of the Tabi'een, that is, the generation who came after the companions, they do not name their sources for the account. Since the account cannot be traced back to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it is therefore not something that Muslims have to accept as fact. In conclusion, we have seen that the discoveries at Tal el Hammam perfectly correlate with the Quranic narrative. How is it possible that the Quran contains such insights that were only archaeologically uncovered in the last few decades? Some might argue that ancient eyewitnesses to the events simply passed down stories through history until they eventually ended up in the Quran. But if this is the case, then we should expect the Bible to be at least as detailed as the Quran, as not only was it penned nearer to the time of the event, but its authors were also geographically in closer proximity to the site of the event. Yet, as we have analysed, this is not the case. The Bible provides only broad details. It is the Quran that contains the finer details. Moreover, what typically occurs over centuries of transmission of stories is that myth-making takes place. In other words, errors, falsehoods, and exaggerations get mixed up with the facts of what actually happened. As more time passes by, the greater this problem becomes, with the truth becoming more and more obscured. So, the Quran, a scripture that postdates the Old Testament biblical accounts, should be expected to contain more issues than the biblical narrative. However, we have seen that this is not the case, as the Quranic narrative filters out all the issues found in the biblical accounts, with only the historic facts of what happened remaining. The best explanation is that the Quran was inspired by God Almighty, Knower of the Unseen. The Quran declares, "That is from the news of the unseen which we reveal to you, O Muhammad. You knew it not, neither you nor your people before this." To learn more about the miracles of the Quran, please download your free copy of the book, The Eternal Challenge, at the link below.